Team. So we have this, you have your little booklet there. Every week there'll be 10 statements, fill in the blanks for you to fill in there as you follow along with the lesson. This is a lesson on Bible prophecy, obviously. I want to read you this opening statement in the teacher's book. It says here, in the mind of God the Father, there is a countdown taking place every day. Like the gears within a clock, the gears of prophecy are moving. And each day we are getting closer to the rapture of the church and the other major events of future prophecy. No man knows the exact day or the hour but God the Father. However, God has revealed to us many details of future events in His Word. Knowing what the Bible says about these events can give us an understanding of what God has in store for us in the future. Understanding future events should also motivate us to live for the Lord today. In John chapter 14, I hope you're all familiar with that chapter. That's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. There's a lot of verses in John chapter 14 that can be a blessing and a help to us. In the first part, Jesus tells the disciples that he's going and getting prepared to go to heaven by way of the cross, and he's going to prepare a place for all of us to in heaven, and that he'll come back and that we will spend eternity with Him. And then he reiterates in verse 6 that He's the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In verses 7 through 10, he reaffirms to the disciples that He is indeed the Son of God. And then in verse number 16 and through the rest of the chapter, he talks about the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, that will come and dwell within all the believers after Jesus goes to heaven, and that he would not leave us comfortless, that the Holy Spirit would dwell within us forever. And then in verse number 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And, you know, we need to utilize the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will teach us, that the Holy Spirit will reveal truth to us as we read the Bible, as we meditate on the Bible, as we hear the Bible taught, and as we hear the Bible preached. You know, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us, to challenge us, to inspire us, to encourage us, to correct us, to do all that the Bible is supposed to do for us. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to help us to get everything out of the Bible that we should. But we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And that's very important. And then verse 27, it's the peace of God. He talks about the peace of God. He said in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. You know, the peace of God, that's what gets us through the difficulties of life. That's what gets us through the challenging times, is knowing that God is our Heavenly Father, that Jesus is our Savior, that heaven is our home, and that nothing that happens in our life goes unnoticed by our Heavenly Father. And there's nothing that He can't help us with. So I encourage you to read your Bible, study your Bible, meditate on your Bible, and memorize your Bible. In fact, every lesson that we'll have in this 13 lesson series will have a memory verse to go along with it. So this week's memory verse is John chapter 14 and verse number 3. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So I'd encourage you to memorize that verse if you haven't already. That'll be a blessing to you. And so we'll start in John chapter 14 and verse number 1. We'll read the first three verses, and then we'll get into this first lesson on the rapture of the church. We have 3 points in today's lesson. The rapture is for the saved. The rapture could happen at any moment. And the dead in Christ will be included at the rapture. This is pretty much a review for most of us, I would think, that have been, especially if you've been attending Faith Baptist Church for any time. We've heard preaching and teaching on the rapture. But it's all good review and good verses to note in today's lesson. So in John chapter 14, verse number 1, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, the illustration that is used in the Jewish culture to illustrate the rapture is the Hebrew wedding. Now, during the time of Christ, a prospective groom would travel from his father's house to the home of the bride. The purchase price would be paid by the groom's father for the bride. Then the groom would return to his father's house and prepare a home for his new bride. When the bride's home was ready, the groom would go and take his bride. The first statement in your booklet is the timing of the groom going to his bride was determined by the father. It was not determined by the groom. And the rapture of the church is determined by the father, not by the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not by the bride. It is determined by the father. Now, the bride would be expecting her groom to come for her at any time. Now, she didn't know how long it was going to take, but her job was to be prepared when the groom came. So she had to get everything in order. Ladies, think about everything that you would needed to get in order to get married and move all at the same time. Get married, go on a honeymoon, and then set up a new house in a new place that you've never seen before. And everything that you would have to do and everything you would have to prepare and the excitement of it all and the hysterics of it all and the drama of it all if you have girls that have gotten married and all these things. But think about all that would have to take place. And so the bride is doing her part to prepare for the wedding and to set up the home and to be with her husband. And the husband is preparing the home, trying to have the everything set up like to please his wife with the different rooms and the decorations and the different things, and he's preparing, and she is preparing, so they're both preparing, but the bride doesn't know when the groom will come, and the only warning that she'll have is that there will be a shout. The bride waited with anticipation, knowing that the groom would come any day. Jesus Christ left his father's house and came to the earth for his bride. The Heavenly Father ultimately paid the price for the bride by giving his only begotten Son to die on the cross. Jesus, our bridegroom, is now back in heaven, preparing a place for us. And we do not know the day or the hour that Jesus is coming back, but he is coming. Someday there is going to be a shout, and then the rapture will take place. Now think of the bride not being prepared. And the groom, he's got everything prepared. He's got the home all prepared. He comes, the man shouts, the bridegroom understands that the groom is coming to take her away, and they'll be married, and they'll go on their honeymoon, and then they'll set up home, but she's not ready. She doesn't have her bags packed. She doesn't have her clothes ready. She's unprepared, or she's partially prepared, and there is no time to prepare because he's coming and they're going, and there's no time. See, that's how some Christians are going to be. We know it's coming, but we don't believe it's coming soon. And we have time to prepare. We cannot assume that we have years or even months or even days to prepare for the rapture. We must be in the whole point of this illustration is that we must be in the point of departure today. And we must maintain that point in our Christian lives. You know what the problem is? We don't believe the rapture is going to happen today, do we? Did anybody wake up this morning and say, I believe that Jesus could come today? They looked outside and it's cloudy. The Bible says Jesus will come in the cloud. Today's the day. Today could be the day. Did anybody think of that today? I mean, I'm studying this lesson and I didn't even think of that today. But if we lived in a state of preparedness, believing, like the Bible says, that Jesus could come any moment, think of how we would live. What would you do differently? What would you have done differently already today? What would you do differently this afternoon if you believed that Jesus was coming before the evening service? It would change the way we live, wouldn't it? Because we would want to be in a state of preparedness. We would want to be ready when Jesus comes. We don't want to be doing the wrong thing and be in the wrong place, have the wrong frame of mind when Jesus comes to rapture us to our eternal home in heaven. Now, I think we all know that when Jesus mentioned the Father's house that he was referring to heaven. So every generation of Christians since the time of Christ has been commanded by the Word of God to live in anticipation of the rapture. We should live every day with the knowledge that this could be the day that we stand before the Lord. Now, one of the things that will help us is daily Bible reading and meditation. You know, one of the reasons we need to read the Bible every day is to challenge ourselves to live for the Lord, and this will help us to be prepared for the rapture. I'll give you a couple of illustrations. All right, I was reading this week in 1 Chronicles. Now, when you're reading 1 Chronicles, this is one of them books that, you know, you kind of like whiz through because they got all them names. It's like, I can't say them names. I'm not sure that I'm pronouncing them correctly, and I'm just trying to get through the book. But don't go so fast that you miss stuff. All right, so I wrote down this verse. You got to find it now. I thought I had it marked, but here we go. So I was reading 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and I read this verse. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. And I thought that's a good verse for my children, because it says, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. And then I thought, that's a verse for me too, because if I don't finish strong for the Lord, then what is the God of their father going to be to them? Think about that. We want to pass down the torch, the Christian torch, to the next generation so that they'll teach their children the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so that they'll pass down the torch to the next generation. But if we don't do our part and we don't finish strong for the Lord, then how is that going to affect our children, which is ultimately could affect our grandchildren, if the Lord stays in heaven, our great-grandchildren. So that verse is a challenge to me to be right with God and to live for the Lord and to stay in the fight, to stay on course, and to finish strong so that my children will be encouraged and challenged that their parents live for the Lord and finish strong. Now they'll be challenged to live for the Lord and finish strong and teach their children the nurture and admonition of the Lord and hopefully keep that torch being passed from generation to generation until the rapture takes place. So that's the kind of stuff that we need to get out of the Bible that challenges us, that encourages us, that strengthens us, that corrects us, that helps us. We need to get that on a regular basis. Man, if you're not getting anything out of your Bible, at least on a weekly basis, you need to change something. You know, one of the things that I pray about for my children is that they will spend enough time in the Bible to get what they need to face the challenges of life. Because they're going to face challenges that we haven't faced. There's some things coming down the road that they're going to have faith. And I hope that they are, and I hope and I pray that they're spending enough time in the Bible that they'll stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, that they'll, you know, we have to keep our swords sharp, and we have to be able to fight with our swords. You know, we have to train. We train and we keep our swords sharp by reading the Bible and meditating on the Word of God and being ready for when the battle comes, when sin, Satan, and sinful world attack us. And the other verses I wanted to give you is that I thought about that help us to prepare for the rapture is Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the challenge that we have. Deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, live sober, and then to live soberly, righteously, and to become a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That will help us to be prepared for when we hear the trumpet and we hear the shout, because there'll be no time to prepare them, because we're going up. And whatever we are at that point is how we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to just keep those things on our mind and on our heart and be ready. Be ready. See, I think I skipped a page already. Let's see here. Okay. All right. Now, another illustration of the rapture is Enoch. So this is the second thing on your second statement in your book. In the book of Genesis, we have an illustration of the rapture in the life of Enoch. In the book of Genesis, we have an illustration of the rapture in the life of Enoch. Enoch had a close relationship with God. Two times in Genesis chapter 5, it says that Enoch walked with God. And one day, as Enoch was walking with God, the Bible says that God took Enoch out of the earth. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Here's what I like to think about that story. I like to think that Enoch got so close to God, and their conversations were so intense that one day, God said, "Why don't you just come home with me?" And Enoch said, "Man, that sounds great. Let's do that." And he went home to be with heaven. Think about that. Think about having a relationship so close with God that he said, "Why don't you just come home and live with me forever and ever?" I mean, that's a reality for all Christians, but he was still alive. And God just said, "Come on home with me." That's the kind of relationship that we should have with God. We should be so close to the Lord that he would be willing to invite us, think about that, to invite us to his home. Where does he live? In the Holy of Holies, right? The seraphim are surrounding him 24 hours a day. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And he invited Enoch to come there. Wow. Think about that. How close was Enoch to God? See, that's a challenge right there to each one of us. The third statement in your book to fill out is, when Jesus Christ comes and raptures the church, the living who are saved will be carried away to heaven. Someday, like Enoch, we will be carried away to live with the Lord Jesus in heaven forever and ever and ever. And our hope is that it will come in our physical lifetime, so we don't have to experience death. Now, that could be, and it could not be. Paul anticipated the rapture before his death. Obviously, that didn't happen, but we should live in anticipation that Jesus will come before our body dies. Some will be very excited when the rapture takes place. We will all be immediately in the presence of the Lord. Those who are serving Christ and living right will be excited to meet the Lord, and those that are not will be ashamed to meet the Lord, and they'll be embarrassed. So we need to prepare on a regular daily basis to meet the Lord. So we're talking about three things this morning. The first point is the rapture is for the saved. In John chapter 14, verse 3, the Bible says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." Jesus promised the disciples that he would come again and receive them. The disciples, with the exception of Judas, had made a decision to trust Christ as their personal Savior. Nowhere in the Bible will you find God promising the rapture to everybody. The fourth statement on your book is the rapture is only for the saved. Number four, the rapture is only for the saved. Those who are not saved will be left behind, and they'll go through the tribulation period. Only the saved will take place when the rapture comes. The illustration for that is in Matthew 25, 1 through 12. "The kingdom of heaven is like unto the 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish." If you know the story, the 5 wise virgins had brought with them extra oil, and the 5 foolish had none. And they didn't take any extra oil with them, oil being a picture of the Holy Spirit. And as they tarried and waited for the bridegroom to come, the 5 foolish virgins' lamps ran dry. And when they heard the shout, it was time for them to leave, but they had no oil in their lamps. So they asked the other 5 that were prepared for oil, but there wasn't enough for all of them. So the 5 that were prepared, that had the oil, that had a picture of the Holy Spirit, that were saved, they went to heaven. And the others were left behind. So we need to be prepared. You know, and it's in the lesson it says, you know, nobody, I don't want you to doubt your salvation. I want you to just confirm your salvation. You know, attending church does not guarantee us a home in heaven. Living a good life does not guarantee us a home in heaven. Serving in the ministry of the church does not guarantee us a home in heaven. Giving of our time, our talent, our treasure to the ministry of the church doesn't guarantee us a home in heaven. We all need to have had that experience in our life where we trusted Christ as our personal Savior, invited Him into our hearts to save us from our sin and take us to heaven. And when you hear someone mention that in a message, it's not to bring conviction to those that are playing the game and not truly saved. And it should be a confirmation to those that are saved. Because when I hear some preacher say that, you know what I think about? I think about August 1st, 1982. And what has happened since that day that I trusted Christ to this day. And it shows me that I'm saved and that God has changed my life. And you know what it does? It makes me look at what I have today and what I had then. And it makes me appreciate all that the Lord has done for me since the day that He saved me. So think of it that way. You know, it's conviction to those that are lost, but it's confirmation to those that are saved. Now, number five on your sheet is all those who are lost when the rapture occurs will be left behind. There'll be no hope. There'll be no second chance. When the rapture takes place, all those that are lost without Christ will be gone. Now, you think about what's going to happen. So the trumpet's going to sound and the shout's going to take place, and all that are saved are going to rise up to meet Jesus in the air. What if you're flying an airplane? What if you're driving a bus? What if you're conducting a train? What if you're a fireman fighting a fire, or a policeman or going to someone's aid? They're going to be gone. What about doctors and nurses and all these people, truck drivers? They're going to be gone. Think about all the chaos that's going to take place. And all the questions, where did they go? Are they coming back? What happened to them? And then that will give the opportunity for the Antichrist to rise in power. Try to explain it, whether it's aliens or whatever they're gonna say, to explain it all away, and then the Antichrist will take power. And after the rapture, the world will enter into the 7-year period known as the Great Tribulation, but there'll be no hope for those that lived before the rapture took place. Number two, the rapture could happen at any moment. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Number six on your sheet, we are to live in anticipation of the rapture. We are to live in anticipation of the rapture. Paul used the word sleep in this passage, which is referring to death. When Paul said, we shall not all sleep, he was saying that some believers would not have to experience death. Those would be raptured, those who were raptured would be changed in a moment of time. It's going to happen so fast that we are not going to be able to do anything else to prepare for it. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, which is faster than a blink. So how fast is that? That's fast. You're not going to see it coming. You're not going to be able to do anything to prepare for it. It's just going to happen. And we're going to be with the Lord as we are at that moment. And that's how we'll stand before the Lord and be judged. Number seven on your sheet, no man knows the exact time of the rapture. No man knows the exact time of the rapture. Matthew 16:1-3, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. It has often been said, red sky at night, sailors delight, red sky in morning, sailors take warning. Number eight on your sheet there, during the time of Christ, men will look to the sky for indications of what the weather was going to be like. During the time of Christ, men would look to the sky for indications of what the weather would be like. As we consider what's happening around our world, the signs of the times are written everywhere. We know that the rapture is coming. Look what's happening all over the world with the political unrest and the wars and the violence and all the chaos that's in our world today and now creeping into our country as well. We should know that the rapture is getting closer and closer. Every day the rapture is getting closer. We do not know the exact day or hour, but we know that as every day passes, we are getting closer to the rapture, and we should be living in anticipation to the rapture. Number 9 on your sheet, the dead in Christ will be included in the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So we're going to, when the shout happens, we're going to hear the trumpet, we're going to hear the shout. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. So all those dead bodies of all the saved, no matter where they're at, whether they were buried in the ocean, whether they were buried in the earth, whether they were entombed, whether they were cremated, God's going to collect all their body parts and bring them up and glorify them and reunite them with their soul. You say, how can God do that? Well, in the beginning, what did God take? He took the dust of the earth, and he formed it into a man, and he breathed through his nostrils the breath of life. So he can do that. I'm sure that it's not going to be a problem for God to collect the remains of the saved and reassemble them and glorify them and reunite them with their souls in the clouds. So you think about all your loved ones that have gone on to heaven. I think about Jack Lewis this morning. Oh, Jack's up in heaven with a temporary glorified body, but God's going to raise that body out of the grave, and he's going to put them fingers back on his hand, and he's going to put that leg back on, and he's going to glorify that thing, and man, Jack's going to be reunited with his glorified body, and he's going to be whole in heaven forever. And when we shake hands with Jack in heaven, his fingers are going to grip my fingers for the first time. And Jack didn't limp much on that prosthesis, but think about that. Just think about all the loved ones and your friends that are in heaven and what they went through on this life and how glorious our reunion will be. And they'll get to go first. Maybe I don't think we're going to be able to see it's going to happen so fast, but we'll see. The graves were opened up, and we'll see the ground tore up, and we'll see, you know, as we go, and then we're going up. The dead in Christ shall go first, and then we which will remain will rise up to meet the Lord in the air, and will ever be with the Lord. So think about that. So if the rapture happened right now, the trumpet, the shout, the dead in Christ resurrected, reunited with their eternal souls, and then bang, we're going through the ceiling. Through the ceiling, through the roof, and we're going to meet Jesus in the clouds. And then we will ever be with the Lord. Are you ready? If Jesus came before the bell rings in about 3 minutes, would you be ready? Have you done what God wants you to do? Are you living like God wants you to live? Are you striving to fulfill God's will? It's a challenge to all of us, isn't it? Man, we got to do better. The living will be caught up to be resurrected. We just talked about that. Number 10 on your sheet. After the dead in Christ are resurrected, both they and those which are alive and saved will be raptured to meet the Lord at the same time. After the dead in Christ are resurrected, both they and those who are alive and saved will be raptured to meet the Lord at the same time. This will happen very quickly in a moment of time. When the rapture takes place, we will be with our loved ones who have already gone on to home to be with the Lord. We can look forward to meeting them again someday. Our sorrow is different from the sorrow of the world. We do not sorrow as others who have no hope. We do sorrow, but because of Christ we have hope. You know, when we bury a loved one that's saved, we have hope that we're going to see them again. And we should be preparing to see them again because the rapture is drawing closer. And we want to be prepared. So think about, just ask yourself, what would I do different today if I was sure that Jesus was coming this afternoon? And keep that thought on your heart and on your mind every day, because it is a reality. And it will help us. You know, it will be a deterrent to giving in to the flesh. It will be a motivation to read our Bibles and try to be like Enoch and get as close to God as we can before our day of departure, because it's at hand. And that should be a challenge and an inspiration to us to live a life that's close to the Lord and just and to draw close to Him every day. Bible reading, prayer, meditation, obedience. How do we prove our love for the Lord? If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these lessons on prophecy. We thank you for Brother Allen for writing them. We pray, God, that they would do the work in our hearts that they were designed to do, to challenge us and to inspire us to live in anticipation of the rapture. We pray that you bless the service to follow, that you encourage and strengthen us all to get from the message what you have prepared for us this morning. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.